Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is former Assemblyman Richard Brodsky. And Assemblyman Brodsky is going to talk about Governor Cuomo's support of Joe Biden. So that was a pretty interesting article that you wrote in the Times Union. First of all, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Everything's terrific, and I'm glad you liked the column.
Okay, so let's talk about it a little bit. You thought that that was brilliant on Cuomo's part?
Well, it you know, when you're a columnist, you're always looking for something interesting to other people and interesting in the world of politics, in my case. What Governor Cuomo did with respect to Joe Biden, I thought, had two important effects. And a lot of this comes out of a widespread sense that he would like to run for president as well. But he's blocked. He's blocked partially because New York already has a candidate in Senator Gillibrand, and partially because he occupies much of the same space politically that Joe Biden occupies. So rather than sit there and shoot at a potential rival, he embraced him and endorsed him, and very loudly and quite effectively. Now, the net result of that, I think, is two things. If Joe Biden prospers and becomes president, Governor Cuomo has made a friend and may call upon him for who knows what. If Joe Biden does not do well, Andrew Cuomo may be positioned to pick up the pieces of the considerable number of Democrats across the country who are now supporting Joe Biden. So in a time when, how can I say this, nuance and finesse are not necessarily attributes that we associate with political leadership, I thought what Governor Cuomo did was both nuanced, effective, and advanced his interests in the, about the only sensible way he could.
You know, I, living in New York and living in Albany, you know, I've come to the conclusion that Cuomo does not make a move unless it benefits him. So do you think he made that was in the back of his mind that if he supported...
Well, I have no idea what's in the back of his mind, but I do think that doing things that are in your own self-interest is the way of the world. I don't know that Andrew Cuomo should be held to a higher standard of ethical behavior than everybody else in the world. So the fact that this is good for him is not a sign that he's being insincere or anything else. By and large, it's a sophisticated and shrewd political move that advances his interest and takes a difficult situation for him where he's sort of blocked and turns it into something that could be a potential asset. Politics is not a bad thing in my mind. And watching of somebody make a shrewd political move was really, I thought, interesting enough to be worthy of a column.
Okay. So were you still in the assembly when he was elected governor?
No, I left at the end of 2010. He was elected at the end of 2010. I served with his father, but I've never had the pleasure of serving with him.
Okay. So overall, as far as being governing the state of New York, from your perspective as a former legislator, you think he's doing a good job?
Well, depends on how you want to measure him. He is he came into office at a time when many people, including what is called the reformers, wrongly were saying that Albany was dysfunctional. I I don't think Albany was dysfunctional. I think you may not have liked the product, but things were happening. At any rate, that was the political sense. You don't hear that anymore. You may not like what's going on, but he has the capacity to get things done, and for many people, that's quite an accomplishment. Now, on policy matters, I tend to agree with him on a lot of the what I'll call social agenda, women's rights, sensible gun restrictions, things like that. I think he's been effective and accomplished a great deal. On his economic policy, from the beginning, I characterized him as a pro-gractionary, progressive on social issues, but quite to the right on economic issues. And I think that has, by and large, been the way it's worked. Now, he did move from his first term to his second term considerably to the left on economic issues, things like minimum wage, which he had originally opposed, he embraced. And that's a good thing. But by and large, from my point of view, I'd say he's done well on the social agenda, and I'm puzzled and often opposed to a lot of the things he does economically. A lot of the corporate giveaways, for example, which have become the hallmark of his economic policies, make no sense. They don't accomplish anything, and they've led to corruption, and we ought not to be handing large corporations large checks. But, you know, you don't get everything you want when you're out on the outside criticizing. And for, as I said, for many people, the social agenda that he's accomplished is noteworthy.
So from a baby boomer's perspective, as you are, the fact that I'm sure Trump is going to run for re-election, Bernie Sanders is, you know, out there all the time, and Joe Biden is in his 70s. Do you think that the fact that running for president is grueling, and people in their 70s just, do you think they still have it in them to be viable candidates?
Some do, some don't. I don't think you can generalize. If there is such a problem, it will become obvious. Right now, neither Trump nor Biden nor Bernie Sanders suffer from any lack of energy, drive, and political activity. So I don't think it's an issue right yet. And if it does, everybody will know.
Okay. So do you have any predictions?
Well, I predict it's going to be interesting. Trump has, from my point of view, just speaking personally, he's such a loathsome personality that it becomes hard to judge his performance without first declaring that. And that's sort of unfortunate. On the merits, I think the real danger is a continuing drift to the right in his judicial appointments. His economic policies, I don't think, are sustainable. But a lot of what he does, it's hard to know whether he's right or wrong. I mean, is he right or wrong about Chinese trade agreements? I don't know. But for many people, his loathsome personal behaviors interfere with an ability to say, well, he may be right on that. And I think that's there's a danger there, especially the Democrats who are going to challenge him. He's not wrong on everything. The drive towards impeachment, which was essentially predicated on some notion of collusion with a foreign power, has lost all its political energy. I don't think the American people are inclined with what is on the public record now to support impeachment. And if you're talking in terms of election and beating Trump in next year, I think care has to be taken to talk about the issues that matter in the lives of people. The insurgency in New York and Washington has done some really interesting things, and on the merits of most of what they talk about, things like green economy, they're talking for the future, and I think they're doing a great service. Whether or not some of the ancillary other behaviors and issues that we've seen from some of the insurgency will be a political liability or an asset is to be seen. But we're in a time of great change, and I think the Ocasio-Cortez and I confuse her sometimes with a distinguished majority leader, and it's a terrible mistake for me to make, and I apologize. At any rate, AOC has become an example of the way in which younger people with a fluency in social media have captured a lot of the debate, and I think that's a good thing.
Now, I believe there's 20-plus Democrats who are in the race right now for president. Do you think that Cuomo went out on the limb for Biden?
Do I think Cuomo will run if Biden runs?
No.
No, I don't.
Do you think he went on a limb for Biden?
Something very shrewd. He made a friend, and he positioned himself to inherit if that friend does not prosper. I for better or worse, as I said earlier, it's a sophisticated political move, and I think it will likely, although you never can tell, likely be of assistance to him no matter what the outcome.
Okay. So you are no longer in the assembly. Are you practicing law?
Law in Westchester County. Offer my opinion through the column in the Albany Times Union, which is a great newspaper and an important part of the social and political fabric, if anybody cares, and I'm having a great time.
Terrific. So you don't miss being in the assembly?
No. Being in the legislature is an enormously enjoyable and important job. It is not corrupt. Many wonderful accomplishments came out of it during my time there, which I was a small part. The ability to function in a legislative capacity is a great privilege, and I enjoyed it when I was there. Now I've moved on to other things.
Great. So as this whole season unfolds, political season unfolds, I would like to have you back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts about what's going on. Would you agree to that?
Sure.
Thank you. So you have been listening to former Assemblyman Richard Brodsky. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, give a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thank you, Assemblyman, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.